Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. So we're always bringing you people that are going through life and something happens and makes them turn left. Now, today's episode is a little bit different because when those people turn left, they step into their superpower. But sometimes when you turn left, you need help. You need someone who's there for you, someone who's holding your hand, somebody who's holding the space for you, somebody who's suing the hell out of somebody too, you know, because that's part of your turning left. So today we're going to have one of those superheroes that helps you in your left turn, supports you and makes sure that you are looked after. And today's guest is an attorney who specializes in the mistakes that happen around childbirth. So Gina, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Very excited for today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. We already had the conversation we were kind of having in the green room before, already ended up with martinis and wine. So we know that this is going to be a good call while we're doing it. So you specialize in the mistakes and complications that arise during labor and delivery. And I'm just literally reading this. You have to answer the questions that went wrong, why they went wrong, what could have been done differently. And you've done this for over 20 years. That's really quite a heavy load, right? For 20 years?
That's a very heavy load. Yes. So, because you got to remember, when there's a mistake or there's a complication, it results in baby not making it, baby being injured at birth. And in some of my very sad cases, I've had moms that don't make it through childbirth. So yes, emotionally, it can be very heavy. Hence, sometimes my evening wine drinking.
Yeah.
Relaxes me a little bit.
I think that when people don't deal with this kind of stuff, they don't understand what a toll it takes. Because like nurses and doctors are with this all the time. You're not picking up from them. I dealt with end of life cancer patients for around 5 years. We had 3 or 5 of them a week, which is not many. And it was the most insanely tough time of my life. It was really, really difficult. So I really think you need to be applauded for being in this space. Because you support the parents, right? It's not like you're going, do you work for the hospital or for the parents?
So I'm actually an attorney. And just so you know, most people believe I'm the attorney from the family because I, you know, wrote the book.
Yeah.
I have been an attorney for the hospital, the doctors, the nurses, the midwives, and the, you know, the delivery teams. So, you know, I have, you know, and I still am, I still have current cases and that are ongoing. So, but you know, they don't care. The hospitals and the doctors, they don't want these mistakes, you know, or complications to happen either. So, you know, but it is a little bit confusing. Yes. And then most of the people that I run into are assuming that I am the attorney for the for the family, but no, that's not the case.
But also you're helping professionals retain their medical licenses. You're helping them stay at work. You're helping them not get black marks in their records because they have done usually the best that they can do in theory, right? What made you be the person that got into this arena?
I stumbled on it. You know, there's in Michigan and where I went to law school, there's really nothing that prepares you for this. I actually wanted to be an attorney specializing in real estate. Got out of law school. I'm like, you know, I need a job. Saw this job. I just got married. Kids are on the table. Like maybe we're going to, not on the table, but we're going to have kids one day soon. Saw this, applied, and that was it. I got my first case. And I knew from that moment, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's amazing. Yeah, because who's ever going to sit there and choose this as a concept?
Right. I know. Nobody. And, you know, it's, I didn't even realize how hard it was until my later years, you know, as I've aged and watched life, you know, unfold. But yeah.
I was going to ask it, how did it impact you when you were having your own babies? Because that must, when you now know everything that can bloody go wrong, like if you ever read statistics for driving a car, you're like, I'm going to walk, you know, I'm just going to walk. So these things are terrible. And then you would have been doing this work all the time. And then, but you knew which doctors to pick, or because you would have been having your baby in the place where you were working almost, right?
Pretty much. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So me seeing all of the mistakes. Now I did have my first baby early on. So, I mean, I got my job and I think I was pregnant within 6 months. So I didn't know as much as I obviously do today. But I did know enough to pick a very conservative doctor who did not take any risks. And I think I made him nervous, just because of what I was, you know,
what you do for a living.
Yeah, pretty much. It was in my chart. And, so most attorneys that do what I do for a while, they pretty much just do C-sections. It's, they don't really go into labor. We're too scared. So,
wow. Are C-sections supposed to be safer?
So it's the lowest risk to baby. So, you know, it's major surgery. Have no.
Yeah, I've done two.
Ah, okay. So, you know, the major surgery, but if you have an elective C-section at 39 weeks, that is just your last risk to baby. That's it. Okay. And So
you would think having a natural childbirth was what we were born to do with babies.
Right. So my first baby was in 2004. And back then, elective C-sections were not really acceptable. So I did go into labor. However, once I was in a hospital and the baby's heart rate dropped just a little bit, you know, they're like, C-section, we're just not dealing with this. And that's what I wanted. But you know, I woke up in hardcore labor, so it was a little bit different. Like I wanted a C-section, but you know, when you just wake up in labor, but then you get to the hospital and they're like, you know what, we're just going to do a C-section. It was almost too nerve wracking for everybody. So they did, and you know, she's fine. And then from then on, obviously then I've had my C-sections, but the people that are in my field are, see, it's actually in the book.
Yeah.
The C-section, that birth baby lawyers have C-sections. So because we're scared.
That's interesting. Because I had two C-sections. One was like you, one was the next one was, well, you've had one. And then my third one, I was like, I want a natural birth. And they were just like, well, we don't do that after C-sections. And I found someone who would do that. And they had a team of anesthesiologists and stuff standing there, you know, waiting for surgery to happen. And she was fine. She came out normally and, you know, whatever. But I had wanted to have a natural birth all the way along and I didn't want it. But yeah. So it's
wow. Yes, you are very lucky. That does make me nervous. I'm not going to lie. I will say, I do like the fact that you had an anesthesiologist just hanging right there and that you were smart enough to know that. Because
I wasn't. The doctor did it. The doctor
because I
would do it and only on these conditions.
That was really smart because, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, something like that happens, like a complication from, they call it a VBAC, vaginal birth after C-section. Yeah, you have 8 to 10 minutes to get baby out. That's very scary. So that's too scary for a baby lawyer. So I'm very impressed because they will do in the United States VBACs at hospitals where the anesthesiologist is not on site. And it scares the crap out of me. I'm like, now they'll make the OBGYN be there. It's very odd. But you need, you know, you need the surgeon and you need the anesthesiologist
order to make it work. So why would you? Yeah. That's interesting. So because, you know, when you look at what we do compared to the American system, the rest of the world is not in any way as litigious as the United States, because the United States is immensely litigious. And also baby making in the United States is, I just want to make this clear, because a lot of my clients and my friends are American. So it took me a while to understand this, because the rest of the world does not understand this. But also, like, you don't have maternity leave built in. It's not a legal requirement, right? And so how baby making in the US is just is very much a function of how much money you make. Is that right? The better, or is it where you live, having the baby?
Oh, yeah. You know, here, though, the government will step in and pay. So if you don't have the money, the you know, especially maybe.
I thought that you needed to have health insurance in the U.S.
Oh, you would think. Not in Michigan. In Michigan, and I think around the United States, and I know this just literally because, you know, we have to go back to the health insurance. A lot of times when there's a baby case like this and a baby is injured, then the insurance company, your health insurance company, can put a lien on the settlement. So if there's no health insurance, the state will step in and pay. And then the state puts the lien on the cases. And in a lot of my cases, the state of Michigan that's paying. And then they put a lien on my settlement or on the settlement. So that means that when the family gets a chunk of money to help care for the baby, you know, the rest of its life, the state of Michigan will take some of that money because they've had to step in and pay.
So
if you don't have money, the state of Michigan will step in. If you're a baby, they'll step in and pay.
Okay.
Even for mom.
So that's very different to the way we live, because the way we live is that you have babies for free in hospitals. You know, you go into a hospital, you have the baby, and if there's any problems, if you hire a lawyer or you do whatever, that's you hire, you can still get the lawyer paid as well by the government, but there, none of that is funded, needs to be funded on any level. So we have a very different system. Yeah, we have a completely different system, which is why I'm clarifying it. You just go in and you have your baby, and then if something goes wrong, you can have government funded lawyers and they will take your case. Usually, in theory, private lawyers are better, but the availability is there. And also, we don't have these huge settlements, even when something does go wrong. They're in tens of thousands instead of in millions. So it's a really different approach. Now, when we come back, we're going to go for a short break. I want to talk about your book, because you actually took all this information you have found out over the last decades and put that into a book on how to actually have a safer childbirth. And I want to talk about going from attorney to author when we come back. So we'll be back in a minute.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. You wrote a book about safer childbirth. I love that you have this complete dedication. You're like, have a damn safe childbirth, for heaven's sake. What made you write the book?
So I guess, as you said earlier, this would be my turn left.
Yeah.
So it was 19 years into my career as an attorney specializing in childbirth cases. And basically, my niece got pregnant and she was about to deliver the first baby of our next generation. And we're tight family. So this is just like if it was my daughter. The only thing is I was 1,100 miles away that day. So she had a rough labor delivery. I get a phone call. It's my sister hysterically crying. The baby crashed. The baby's down. And we sat on the phone for about 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is what happens in my cases. This is exactly what happens in my cases. And all of a sudden, as I listened to her cry and we were waiting for information, I went from my legal analysis to human analysis. And I was like, this is how the families feel. This is this feeling of helplessness, knowing that no decision now is going to change the past. All you can do is hope and pray while you sit there. And it's the worst feeling ever. And because their family's from the cases, then that means their baby was permanently injured or their baby did pass away. So that's the news. That's the beginning of their journey down that path. And I was like, oh my, this is awful. We were lucky. It was a close call, but the baby landed on the right side of the close call and the baby was going to be okay. Because mm-hmm. in these cases, one of the most heartbreaking things, these families are only one decision or mere minutes from a healthy baby. So it's very, 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 very difficult for, you know, for them. So that kind of kicked in this human analysis. And I was like, this is how they feel. And then all of a sudden was, wait a minute, I have girls. They're 15 and 19. And what if I'm not around for the birth of my grandkids? And just my kids need to know what I know. I know a different side of labor and delivery that most people don't know. I analyze childbirth and labor and delivery from a different angle. And if I'm not around,
angle of,
I hate to say this, but I will. It's, you know, it's the angle of when something goes wrong, whether it's a mistake or complication.
But on the side of the doctors and the nurses, right? Because yeah. What I'm trying to understand is, did you never meet any of the families that had had their babies ill or die before this?
Oh, no. So in a case like this, I have to sit down with the families and I have to go through that day with them in huge detail.
Right.
And it's awful. It's a very emotionally draining, heart-wrenching day as you have to sit with the mom and she has to tell you, you know, what happened in her eyes that day and the impact it's had on her, you know, losing a child and not only losing a child, but what, you know, she's saying is, you know, something that was preventable. It's, you know, it's awful. So no, I have spent 20 years with these families and yeah. I've spent time with grandma.
And it became personal. And it's your sister.
It did. So that, yeah. So thank you for clarifying that. So all of these families that I had met, that's when I was like, oh my, this is how they feel. So once I hit the kid thing, oh no, my kids aren't going to be here. I'm like, I need to write down what I know. So I went from attorney who really, I had just only done like a legal analysis of these cases and whatnot. I went attorney to author with the intention on helping not only my kids, but then other families have a safer childbirth to make sure that these mistakes and complications don't happen during the birth of their own kids. But once I did that and I switched gears, like what in my head do they need to know? I mean, it was game over. There was so much to write. I actually divided my book into two. So actually, so this one is just childbirth because that's my specialty. I know childbirth like the back of my hand. So childbirth's the first book. I have another book just on pregnancy. There's not as many pregnancy cases. So I cut that in half and I gave it to a nurse and she's kind of like, you know, finishing up, you know, that book. Or whatnot. So yeah, so that was my left turn, just stepping away from this legal world for a minute, getting in, you know, almost connecting to these families emotionally for just this brief period. And then that was it. And now, you know, it took me 14 months to write the book.
Wow.
And it was published in June 2023. And now I'm sitting here talking to you.
So you, well, 14 months to write the book, be a mother, be a lawyer, or did you stop work? Because you would have kept your work going, right?
Oh, yeah. There's, all right. Let me tell you, before you make any decisions to do something like write a book, you might want to think about it first. Now, it was in my,
no shit.
It was in my heart. I knew I had to do it for my family, and I knew I had to do it for other families. This is it. And so when I started writing, let me back up. This is how I did it. I had to axe something. I had to axe a lot of things, actually. Friends, family, done. I started going to bed right after dinner. So at 7 p.m., I'm in bed. I've been known to go to bed at 5:30 p.m. And I get up about 2:30 to write, 2:30 to 3 a.m. every single morning to write.
For how long?
Until my kids wake up to go to school, and then I get them to school or do whatever I got to do, or if it's summer, have fun. And then I work. Usually by 9 a.m. I'm now trying to switch gears into work because I am a partner at a law firm. So then I go to work, and then just work, juggle family and whatever, and whenever I could just write. But writing in the middle of the night for me was the only way to do it. So it was literally months and months. But then you publish a book and you're like, yay, I can,
yeah, but
I can sleep in.
That's nuts.
I was on a podcast at 4:30 a.m. in Australia. No, it doesn't work that way. So now it's great. I wrote this book. It's going to help it's going to help families. It's going to save babies.
You got off.
Well, nobody knows about it. So I'm still getting up at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there is that too. But hang on a minute. You got up at 2:30 in the morning. It is insane to me how women manage this stuff, but also writers, because writers are a very distinct genre of lunatics who will write. No, absolutely. Who will insist on writing. And I love to write. A lot of my job is writing. That is very different to a book, right? And then this thing of getting up at 2:30 and then doing drafts, doing additions, oh my God, it's my idea of absolute friggin' hell. I am so impressed. That's the most inspiring thing in the world. For how long did you do that 2:30 in the morning till whatever?
14 months. So here's the thing. Talk about connecting emotionally with part of my left turn. So the first 3 months, I figured out I'd emotionally suppressed everything.
Yeah, in order to survive.
Yeah, you really. And so then the crying started. So for the first 3 months, I have to go back, analyze these cases, remember these families, think of where are they at now. It just poured out of me for 3 months. But then it was like this clarity. And then those emotions also, they just fueled me. It was like, wait a minute, I know stuff. Where these families, it's never, don't have to go through this again. So if you read my book, you know, they have a best shot at making sure these complication and mistakes do not happen. And then the acknowledgement, the very last paragraph of the book, I wrote to the families how I cried, you know, the first 3 months, and it fueled me. And it was this catalyst that just pushed me through those 14 months. And that I hope, you know, at least one good thing that comes out of their stories is that we can prevent this from happening in the future.
Oh, God, I can't bear it. Okay, we're going to go for a break on that note, because I think I just need to put my head in cold water, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. Okay, now we have to know, what is the basis of a safe childbirth? this versus that, this instead of that, don't do this, do that.
It's knowledge. It's learning about labor and delivery. It's learning about different aspects of labor and delivery. It's learning things that-
So it's self-educating.
Yes. So the subtitle of the book is Using the Power of Knowledge to Help You Deliver a Healthy Baby. So chapter one of the book goes through the 13 lessons that we can all learn from the baby cases, like overall. And these are lessons from the families. They're lessons from the doctors, the nurses. They're lessons from the legal experts. So, and actually those lessons are so important. If you go to my website, GinaMundy.com, chapter one is just up there. It's a 20-minute read. If you know somebody who's expecting a baby, or if you're expecting a baby, go on the website. I made it down. You can download it. Have it. It will literally help guide you on what you need to know for a
safe
child.
I'm literally typing this in as we speak. Gina, GinaMundy.com.
Right.
Who's having a baby.
Okay. Go to expecting parents.
Right.
And then you'll see right there, chapter one, just hit it. And then it should be right there. You can PDF it to her. PDF it to anybody who may need it. Because that is step number one. And it's going to tell you what different areas of childbirth you need to know and why. For instance, if you go on there, you'll see chapter, I think it's lesson two, three. It's knowing of your delivery team. Listen.
Delivery what?
The delivery team.
Yes, right.
Yeah, like who, your doctor, your nurse, whoever is going to be there. Listen, they are responsible for bringing your baby safely into this world. They play a huge role.
Massive part.
Massive.
I don't remember doing that with my first babies. My first baby, I had no idea what, I was in my 20s, but I had no idea what the hell was going on. And I went to like the best hospital. I was like, I have no idea what happened, who it was or anything. The second baby, I went to the next available obstetrician. That's how much research I put in. I didn't even like her. My third baby, I was like, nope. I interviewed doctors. I interviewed the delivery team. I was like, no, we're not doing this. We're doing this properly. Mm-hmm. But wow.
Well, you're very lucky. I'll tell you that.
No, I was very, but we were very-
For the third baby, so to be able, especially because I know your backstory, how you chose your method of delivery. So you had to have that good doctor.
Yeah. And also she was good. She came out smaller than the others. I think she knew she had to come a different way. So she was not just be smaller all around. So what are some of those things that we can talk about here before you leave?
Sure. So for instance, a really good chapter or a really good lesson. So there's a delivery team, but guess what? Your doctor heads that delivery team. So just like you did with interviewing your doctor, perfect. Because I've analyzed doctors as a huge part of my job. So chapter four is all about picking the good doctor. So you interviewed your doctor. So if you would have had my book, you could have gone to chapter four and it tells you exactly what questions to ask.
Yeah.
A huge important part of my book that you cannot find anywhere else. This is not out there, is chapter 11. Chapter 11 lists the 10 most common facts and issues in a legal baby case. For instance, I get a new case in, and I don't know if we talked about it on the air or not. I'm a partner in a law firm. I currently have cases.
Yeah. So you have active cases.
I have active cases still doing this. When I get a new case in, the first words I read are mom is being induced with Pitocin. That's what I read in almost every case. The number one most common fact in a baby case is Pitocin. So let me tell you.
Is that a drug?
So Pitocin will induce a mom's labor, and it can induce a mom's labor because it makes her contract.
Yes.
So the uterus contracts, and then, you know, you have your body cues, and you go into labor, get ready.
Yeah. So when babies are late.
Right. So that's huge. Another thing.
And so you're saying that in almost all the cases that have gone wrong, they started there.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, I tell you something. When I had my first baby, he was 2 weeks late. And they were like, if you don't, this baby doesn't come by next Friday, we're inducing. I was like, I don't want, and I had a friend who had told me at when we were at university, she had a baby, she was an older student. And she talked about how when her baby was induced, it was the worst experience of her life. And I gave myself 4 days. We went rollerblading. I was 9.5 months pregnant. I went to the nightclub. I was eating Indian food. I was having sex. I was like, we are bringing this on time. You are not doing this. And that baby was like, oh, damn it. Okay. And he came on Thursday and on Friday was inducing day. I was like, yeah, we're never doing that.
Wow.
Why do they do that?
That's good for you. See, you even instinctually, you know, knew.
But why do they do it if it's the problem?
Listen, Pitocin scares a baby lawyer like me all day long. Doctors, I go to the doctors and I'm like, listen, I just hate Pitocin. And they're like, Gina, it's fine. That's the one thing. Now, doctors all manage Pitocin inductions differently, which is why it's so important to know what's in chapter 14 of my book. Listen, chapter 14 is great. It's going to tell you how to have a safe Pitocin induction. You could go to your doctor and your doctor is going to be like, I already do that. Perfect. You have a great doctor. Other doctors are going to be like, what? I'm not, no, you know, or whatever. But I'm telling you, I've seen Pitocin inductions gone wrong since February 2003. And based upon that, my experience with them, I wrote the, you know, chapter 14.
But it's an actual chapter on it. That's nuts.
Yeah, because one of the very last lesson is that you have to know Pitocin is the most common factor in illegal baby cases. And if you're going to do it, you better know what's in chapter 14.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so happy we're past the giving birth stage. So, but now we have kids, so we got to think about them and making sure that we're on
top. Oh yeah, no, I'm in a different phase because in my business, what I do is we talk about perimenopause, fertility, and all of that stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm at the stage where I'm like, nobody can have babies naturally. So I'm talking to my daughters, going, by the time we're hitting 27, because we have babies later here, we tend to, you know. And in Europe and then in the US. So if we're at 27 and 28 and there's no babies on the way, we're freezing those eggs. Let me tell you now. And they're like, you are the weirdest mother. I'm like, oh, heck no, this is my business. We are freezing those eggs and that's how we're moving, because otherwise you're going to be screwed. You're just not going to be able to have a baby, you know, because the statistics are so shit for them. So that's my end of the thing before they get to you. So yeah, that's where the doomsday fucking book.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, guess who loves my book more? I get more feedback from expecting grandparents than anything. Like the expecting grandmas that are brown. So I'm going to be pushing 50 here. Love my book. They're just like, okay, it's like they're out to protect their kids, their grandkids. Like they have this, I don't know, responsibility, almost the same responsibility I felt when I wrote the book for my kids. These other grandparents, they feel like I got to.
Did you say you were pushing 40?
Yeah.
So your sisters.
I'm sorry. No, I'm pushing 50.
Oh, okay. I was like, you're
grown. You know, it's like a dream. It's like a pipe dream. I loved the last part of my 30s. I think I go back like subconscious. Like, no, I'm pushing 50.
Okay.
There's no way. I would have been a lawyer.
Grandparents of 40. That's nuts.
So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so one of the things to me that's very interesting about your book is that, and I'm preaching about this all the time, is this, what you basically are saying, that in order for women to survive even natural health occurrences, they will survive with comfort and ease and joy by just being able to educate and then being able to question and challenge whether the person that's providing them with the bloody health experience is someone who, you know, who they can trust or who they want. I remember for me, I wanted the experience to be one, which was one I chose. I never felt like my other births were experiences I chose. And I remember coming at this, and my best friend came with me to interview doctors. because I needed it to be that experience, not the baby's father, where it would have been a whole different, you know, fact finding. It's like, there's no fact finding here. This is a intuitive process and then fact finding as well, you know? And it was very interesting. So what I like about what you've done with this is you've joined two versions of that. You joined the emotive and the analytical together to create a result, which will hopefully keep many, many babies safe.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Having that power of knowledge, like you just said, it helps you discern what is good care, what's not good care. It helps you to discern who can I trust? Who don't I trust? If you just go in there and you don't know anything, how do you make good decisions? You don't. And that's why it's lesson one. And it's from the families. It's, you know, you've got to learn about labor and delivery. Otherwise, you can't walk in to childbirth with that mentality. We're all guilty of it. Bad things only happen to other people.
Yeah.
I'm going to be just fine. You cannot, you leave yourself vulnerable on one of the most biggest days of your life if you do that. It's but, not.
And you're vulnerable already. You're so vulnerable that if you don't have information, you're up shit creek without a paddle, aren't you, really?
Yeah. You got to remember, parents, your moms are the decision makers. Doctors can't just do C-sections. They can't start Pitocin. They can't do an IV.
Well, they can, but they have to have put you in a particular place before they got there, right? Because they
I don't know about there, but here, I mean, they have to get your permission.
Of course they do. But yeah, there's a place where if they think it's an emergency, like, you know, my C-section was an emergency. It was like, now, you're not in a position where you're going to go, can I think about this? You're just like,
oh, 100. Right? And yeah, and it's something, it's very similar in the book is you're like, when they're communicating a recommendation to you, if they're communicating it and they're hyper and everyone's moving at the speed of light and they're talking really fast, yes, there's some definite concern and you're probably going to want to listen to them. If it's a thing, you know, where you step back and they're like, okay, well, we have some concerns and you could have a C-section or we could continue with the Pitocin induction. You're going to have to make the decision. You know, that's, yes, much, much different.
Yeah, no, I remember going from baby's heartbeat dropping to having a cesarean. I think that must have taken about 4.5 minutes. It was like, boom, you know, and I was like, oh, whoa, okay. And it's only later you think, wow, that was really an issue. But Gina, thank you so much. That was a pleasure. It was nice to have you come on, and that was interesting as an experience. I haven't thought about childbirth for a while, although I have all these clients having babies now, so
good. I hope you like my book.
I have just emailed one to your first chapter to a client instantly, and it was really great. Thank you.
Of course. And there's another chapter on there, the baby advocate chapter. I did end up putting that on there too. We didn't really talk about baby advocate, but like you said, you know, moms are focusing on giving birth. So it's always good to have a second set of eyes on baby. And when you have family that's going to be there anyway, why not give them a job?
Yeah, because then they stay out of your hair. And your
give them something to do so you can focus on you, have them focus on baby, and, you know, make sure, you know, everything's going great. So in that chapter, right at the end, it kind of says, hey, you should have a baby advocate. It tells you why. It starts with a powerful story. But then at the end, it's like, hey, these are the 5 things that your baby advocate should know. And I just go through it, you know, it's real simple. So, but yeah, that chapter, I ended up, I was in a podcast actually, and she's like, this is so important. I'm like, it is, you know what? I'm going to put it for free on my website. Cause I'm like, you know what? This is another, I know pretty soon the whole book's just going to be up there. I'm like, just take it. This is, if it's saving babies, just take it.
So. Yeah, I know what you mean. There is just a place that you want to make the information as widely available as possible. Thank you so much for your time. This was Gina Mundy, and you can find her stuff on ginamundy.com and her amazing book as well, of which the first chapter, as you have been told, is free. And the advocacy chapter is now free as well on her site. So go over and have a look at it. And if you're having, I mean, I think this is something you should make required reading for anyone that you know that is having a baby or thinking of having a baby or anywhere near pregnancy. It's a great thing to give to them. So thanks for joining me, Gina.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And my book is available on Amazon all over the world. So
My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. I hope that this was interesting and exciting for you. It definitely brought back some very distinct fears for me. So hopefully we've given you something to help you to gain that knowledge and power. As Gina Kev so well said, you know, it is knowledge, self-knowledge is power. So I will be with you again soon. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.